exchange pleasantries and he takes me on a tour of the grounds. He's a thoughtful, introspective man with some ideas on how to improve the yard. Not only does he maintain my property, but also a couple of the other properties in the near vicinity. And he's a volunteer for the fire department. While we walk, we discuss putting in a hot tub and maybe a pool. I notice a bamboo cane that's been discarded, and I pick it up as we continue to talk. It's been a while since I held a cane. It's a little heavy and not very flexible. Absent-mindedly, I swipe it through the air.
"It'll be expensive,"
Martin says, referring to the notional pool.
"And to be honest, how often would you use it?"
"Good point. Perhaps we could go for a tennis court instead."
"Or you could leave it all be and let the meadow flowers bloom."
His grin is infectious. I survey the yard. Pool or tennis court or meadow flowers. I wonder which Anna would prefer. I swipe the cane through the air once more as Mr. Bentley opens the door into the basement. I don't know what it is that makes me glance up, but I do, to discover Anna is watching me from the kitchen window. She waves, but looks guilty for some reason. Why? I don't know. She turns away, and I hand the cane to Martin and head back into the house. I'm hungry for waffles. The flight home is smooth. Anna slumbers beside me while I go through the draft deal terms for the acquisition of Geodomara. I think everyone is tired after the forced march hike up the Red Mountain Road trail that Elliot led us on, but it was worth it for the view. The late night, the altitude, and the alcohol are catching up with all of us. Elliot and Anna are sleeping. Kate and Ethan are dozing. Mia is reading. She and Ethan appear to have had an argument. I suspect Ethan's "we're just friends" has finally registered in Mia's stubborn mind. Stefan announces that we're beginning our descent into Seattle. "Hey, sleepyhead." I wake Anna. "We're about to land. Buckle up." She stirs and fumbles for her belt, but I fasten it for her and kiss her forehead. She snuggles against me, and I drop a kiss in her hair. This trip has been a success, I think. But for me, it's also been disturbing. I'm sensing a growing feeling of contentment. It's a strange and frightening sentiment, one that could disappear in a heartbeat. I glance down at Anna, trying to dismiss the worrisome feeling. It's too new and too fragile. Turning my attention back to the paperwork in front of me, I continue to read, making notes in the margins with my queries.
"Don't dwell on your happiness, Gray. It will only lead to pain."
Flynn's recent advice echoes in my mind.
"Nurture and treasure it."
Shit. How? Hell. Elliot wakes and teases Anna while First Officer Bailey announces our final approach. I take Anna's hand.
"Christian, Anna, thank you for a fantastic weekend,"
Kate says, threading her fingers through Elliot's.
"You're welcome," I answer.
And there it is again, that contentment. "How was your weekend, Mrs. Gray?" I ask once we're en route to Escala. Ryan is driving with Taylor in the passenger seat. Even he looks relaxed.
"Good, thank you."
"We can go anytime. Take anyone you wish to take."
"We should take Ray. He'd like the fishing."
"That's a good idea."
"How was it for you?"
she asks. I glance at her. Fantastic. Scarily so. "Good," I say eventually. "Real good."
"You seemed to relax."
"I knew you were safe." She frowns.
"Christian, I'm safe most of the time. I've told you before, you'll keel over at 40 if you keep up this level of anxiety. And I want to grow old and gray with you."
Anna reaches out, taking my hand. I raise it to my lips and kiss her fingers. "I will always worry about you, baby. You are my life." "How's your hand?" I ask, to change the subject.
"It's better, thank you."
"Very good, Mrs. Gray. You ready to face Gia again?" Anna rolls her eyes.
"I might want to keep you out of the way, keep you safe."
Protecting me?
Well, how the tables have turned. I want to laugh.
As ever, Mr. Gray, from all sexual predators.
She teases, keeping her voice low, so Ryan and Taylor don't overhear her. I brush my teeth, glad that we've approved Gia's plans. Elliot's team will start on the build Monday. I tick through a mental checklist. I have much to do over the coming week, but chiefly I want to make sure we nail Hyde's ass to the wall and keep him incarcerated. Welch will need to keep digging to see if the asshole's been working with anyone. I hope not. I hope this is over.
Everything okay?
Anna asks when I join her in the bedroom. She's wearing one of her satin nightdresses and looks every inch a goddess. I nod as I climb into bed beside her, putting aside my thoughts about next week.
I'm not looking forward to going back to reality, she says.
No. She shakes her head and caresses my face.
I had a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
You're my reality, Anna. I kiss her.
Do you miss it?
Miss what?
You know, the caning and stuff.
She whispers.
Why is she asking me this?
I rack my brain. The bamboo cane.
This morning?
No, Anastasia, I don't. I stroke her cheek with the back of my knuckles. Dr. Flynn said something to me when you left, something that stayed with me. He said I couldn't be that way if you weren't so inclined. It was a revelation. John encouraged me to try our relationship her way, and look where we are. I didn't know any other way, Anna. Now I do. It's been educational.
Me educate you?
She scoffs. I smile. Do you miss it?
I don't want you to hurt me, but I like to play, Christian. You know that. If you wanted to do something...
She lifts her left shoulder in a coy shrug. Something?
You know, with a flogger or your crop?
She stops as her face colors.
Crops and floggers, eh?
Well, we'll see. Right now, I'd like some good old-fashioned vanilla. My thumb skims her bottom lip, and I kiss her once more. Thursday, September 1st, 2011. Bastille is kicking my ass.
Marriage is making you soft, Gray.
He taunts, flicking his dreads to the side as I struggle to my feet once more. That is the third time he has knocked me on my butt.
Maybe this is what happiness looks like.
His face brightens with a benign grin, and he comes at me again with a roundhouse kick. But I block him and feint right, then bring him down with my left leg.
Yeah, I respond, adrenaline flying through my veins. Maybe it does.
I bounce on my feet, fists raised, ready to take him down once more as he leaps to his feet.
That's more like it, man.
As I sip my coffee at my desk, I contemplate the last few days and Bastille's words. Maybe this is what happiness looks like. Happiness. It's a strange and unsettling emotion, one that I've felt often enough since I met Anna. But I've always thought of those as fleeting moments, sometimes euphoric, sometimes just pure joy. It's never been my constant companion. It's crept up on me, and now it's with me, always. But it's an uneasy feeling, a tightness in my chest. And I know it's because it could be snatched from me at any moment, and I'd be left devastated.
I don't want you to sabotage your happiness, Christian. I know you feel you don't deserve it.
Flynn's words echo once more through my thoughts.
Sabotage my happiness? How and why would I do that?
It's like love. That was a frightening prospect, too, yet I let that in.
Shit. Why can't I just accept this feeling and enjoy it? I could bathe in its fire and rise reborn like a phoenix.
Or will I perish in its flames with what's left of my heart destroyed?
Flowery gray.
I snort. Get a grip. Maybe Bastille has a point. These last few days have been idyllic. Work is going well. I've not had any further arguments with my wife, just fun and frolics. She's been Anna. My Anna. I recall the Shipbuilding Association dinner a few nights back where, at my request, Anna wore Kegel balls throughout the long meal. How she held it together, I'll never know. She didn't when we got home. I shift in my seat, remembering her need. My phone buzzes, interrupting my erotic reminiscence. Yes?
I have Welch for you.
Thanks, Andrea.
Mr. Gray.
His gravelly voice kills any residual lust that's lingering in my body.
Hyde's bail hearing is this afternoon. I'll report back when the judge has given her verdict.
Let's hope she makes the right decision. He clears his throat.
He's a flight risk. I think she will.
Great. Let me know. As I put the phone down, my BlackBerry buzzes with a text. It's from Leela.
I wanted to thank you personally for everything you've done for me. I am trying to understand why you won't see me. It's hard. I owe you so much. Leela.
What the hell? I switch my phone off and return to my coffee. I am not in the mood to deal with Leela Williams. She shouldn't be texting me at all. I had hoped that Flynn had talked to her, but I'll discuss Leela's persistence with him later today when I see him. Mia is more animated than usual when we meet for an early lunch at my favorite sushi restaurant. She hurls herself at me, fizzing with excitement, kissing my cheek.
It's so good to see you,
she gushes. You saw me last weekend. I return her hug, my tone wry.
But I get you to myself, and I have news. I have a job.
She raises her hands and does a celebratory twirl before she takes her seat.
What? Finally?
Her joy is contagious, and I'm eager to hear the details.
It's taken forever, but I'm thrilled. I'm working for Chrissy Scales.
The caterer?
Yes, weddings, events, all those gigs. I want to start my own business one day, but she's going to show me the ropes. I'm super excited.
Great. When do you start?
Next Friday.
Tell me everything. No one can enthuse like my little sister, and I can't remember the last time we spent a long lunch together, just the two of us. Over our sashimi and maki rolls, she regales me with her hopes for her new career and with her latest attempts to win Ethan Kavanaugh's heart. Mia, I'm not sure I can deal with you having a love life.
Oh, Christian, of course I have a love life. I had so much fun in Paris.
What?
Yes, there was Victor, Alexandre.
There's a list? Christ, stop.
Don't be such a prude, Christian.
She scolds.
Moi?
I place my hands on my chest in feigned outrage. She laughs. So you think you have a chance with Ethan? I ask.
Yes.
She's definitive, and that's one of the many things I love about her, her determination and resilience. Okay, good luck with that. I signal for the check.
Can we do this again? I miss you.
Of course, but right now I have to get back to work for a meeting. I'm sitting with Barney and Fred in the lab, examining the latest prototype of the solar tablet. The lighter, simpler, cheaper version for struggling economies in the developing world. This is the part of my job that I love most. Barney is in full flow.
Took 8 hours to charge, and it's giving us 3 days of use.
Can we get more?
I think we're at our limit with the battery technology at the moment.
Fred glides his glasses up his nose.
It's the black and white e-ink screen that saves us on power, and it's more robust.
And for the home market?
Color touchscreen.
Barney hands me the other prototype. I weigh it in my hands. It's quite a bit heavier.
Color screens are.
Feels expensive. I grin.
We're only getting 4 hours from it so far, with 8 hours in the sun.
Makes sense. But can it be charged conventionally?
Yes, here.
Barney points out the charging port on the bottom of the device.
It's standard non-proprietary USB. Saves on landfill.
That's a good marketing angle. My phone buzzes, and Welch's name pops up on the screen. Guys, I've got to get this. I step away from the workbench and answer. What gives?
He didn't make bail. No trial set yet.
He doesn't deserve bail. Thanks for letting me know. I hang up and send a quick email to Anna. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 1st, 2011, 1524. Hyde. Anastasia, for your information, Hyde has been refused bail and remanded in custody. He's charged with attempted kidnapping and arson. As yet, no date has been set for the trial. Christian Gray, CEO. I turn back to Fred and Barney to continue our discussion of the tablet and next steps. Back in my office, I notice Anna's reply to my earlier message.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 1st, 2011, 1553. Hyde. That's good news. Does this mean you'll lighten up on security? I really don't see eye to eye with Prescott. Anna, kiss. Anastasia Gray, editor.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 1st, 2011, 1559. Hyde. No. Security will remain in place, no arguments. What's wrong with Prescott? If you don't like her, we'll replace her. Christian Gray, CEO. There's a knock on the door. I'm expecting Roz for our 4 o'clock, but it's Andrea who pops her head around the door.
Mr. Gray, Roz is running late. She'll be with you in 10 minutes. Can I get you anything?
I'm good, Andrea. Thanks. She closes the door and I open the revised deal terms for Gio Lamara. I need to read it through and check that all my suggestions have been incorporated. When I look up, I have a response from Anna.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 1st, 2011, 1603. Keep your hair on. I was just asking, rolls eyes. And I'll think about Prescott. Stow that twitchy palm. Anna, kiss. Anastasia Gray, editor.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 1st, 2011, 1611. Don't tempt me. I can assure you, Mrs. Gray, that my hair is very firmly attached. Has this not been demonstrated often enough by your good self? My palm, however, is twitching. I might do something about that tonight. Kiss. Christian Gray, not bald yet, CEO. I send a quick email to Roz to bring signature copies for the Gio Lamara deal with her, and there's another email from my wife.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 1st, 2011, 1620. Squirm. Promises, promises. Now stop pestering me, I am trying to work. I have an impromptu meeting with an author. We'll try not to be distracted by thoughts of you during the meeting. A. Kiss. Anastasia Gray, editor.
There's a knock on the door, and this time it's Roz, 20 minutes late.
You look well.
Flynn motions me into his office. I am, thank you. I take my usual seat and wait patiently for him to take his. When he's ready, he gives me his expectant look.
So, what's occurring?
He asks. I fill him in on the week's events, starting with my rushed flight back from New York. Hiding my amusement, I watch his eyebrows ascend farther up his forehead as my tale unfolds.
That's it?
He asks when I finish.
More or less. So let me get this straight. You canceled 2 important meetings to fly home to check on Anastasia because you were angry with her that she hadn't followed your instructions, only to find this Hyde character had broken into your apartment to kidnap your wife.
In a nutshell, yes.
She safe words on you, and that's never happened before. I don't want to know the details unless you really feel a need to tell me, but you resolve your differences, and following that, you have a nightmare that she dies.
I nod, trying to dampen my sudden anxiety as I remember fragments of my dream.
Anything else?
I took her to Aspen with some friends. I punched a guy's lights out because he touched her. And this afternoon, Hyde was refused bail. And I got a text from Leela. He closes his eyes, and I don't know if it's because he can't believe what he's just heard, or because he's collecting his thoughts, or because he's pissed at Leela.
Christian, that's a hell of a lot to take on board. I'm surprised you're not more stressed.
Yes, you'd think, but my stress has been tempered by something altogether unfamiliar and frankly alarming.
Oh.
Yes, something you alluded to in our last couple of meetings.
Go on,
Flynn prompts. I have a general and creeping sense of happiness. It's quite unsettling.
Ah, I see.
You do?
It's obvious, to me anyway.
His expression, frustratingly, gives nothing away.
Please enlighten me.
Well, I would hazard a guess that Jack Hyde's kidnap attempt and his subsequent incarceration have justified your feelings about Anna's security, but the threat he posed has now been eliminated, so you've been able to let down your guard. Anna's safe.
Ah, makes sense.
But I would also say this is not a new phenomenon. You've experienced a great deal of happiness over the last few months. Your engagement, the wedding, the honeymoon. We've talked about this before. You have a tendency to focus on the end result and not the journey to get there. You were focused on getting married and anxious that wouldn't happen, yet it did.
He pauses, I imagine, for emphasis.
Christian, you are the master of your own happiness. I imagine that in your subconscious you don't think you deserve to be happy. But let me set you right on that. You do. You are allowed to be happy. After all, it's an unalienable right written into your constitution.
I think you'll find it's the pursuit of happiness that's enshrined in the constitution.
Semantics. But what I'm reading into this situation is that you hold the key to your happiness. You're in control. You just need to let it in, and not deliberately put obstacles in its way.
I glance down at the mini orchids on his coffee table.
Can I?
The words are out before I realize I've said them out loud.
Can you what?
Let it in?
That's entirely up to you.
But what if she leaves?
He sighs. There are no certainties in life except death and taxes. Everyone runs the risk of being hurt. You know this. You've had more than your fair share of that as a child. But you're not a child anymore. Give yourself permission to enjoy your life and your wife.
Is it as simple as that?
Now, Leela, he says, and I know we've moved on.
Monday, September 5th, 2011. Taylor pulls away from the curb as I watch Anna and Prescott disappear into SIP. My uneasy sense of bliss lingers. We've had an amazing weekend, more fun and frolics with Mrs. Gray. This is what I've been missing from my life.
Sir, Taylor distracts me from my happy place.
Yes?
The R8 spider for Mrs. Gray will be ready at the end of the week.
Excellent, thanks. His gaze does not leave mine in the rearview mirror.
What? Gail has a suggestion for you with regard to Mrs. Gray's birthday.
Oh?
I wait for him to tell me more, but he continues to drive.
Are you going to tell me?
His eyes flick back to mine in the rearview mirror, and in them I see a silent plea. He doesn't want to rain on her parade.
I'll talk to her.
Thank you, sir.
My phone buzzes. It's a text from Elliot.
It begins!
He's attached a photograph of his team taking down one of the rear walls of our house on the coast. It's a dramatic shot. Blue skies, a gaping hole in a wall, clouds of brick dust, and five hulking men in yellow hard hats wielding sledgehammers.
Whoa, leave some of it standing.
Don't get your panties in a wad. We're following the plans.
I'd expect no less. Good luck. In the elevator at Gray House, I check my emails.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 5th, 2011, 9:18. Sailing and soaring and spanking. Husband, you sure know how to show a girl a good time. I shall, of course, be expecting this kind of treatment every weekend. You are spoiling me. I love it. Your wife. Kiss, hug, kiss. Anastasia Gray, editor.
At my desk, I respond. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 5th, 2011, 9:25. My life's mission is to spoil you, Mrs. Gray, and keep you safe because I love you. Christian Gray, Smitten CEO. Smitten doesn't cover it. I want to do something special for her birthday, and I wonder what Mrs. Jones has in mind. I'll talk to her this evening. In the meantime, I'd like to get Anna something other than the car, a gift that requires a little more creative thought. As I sip my coffee, an idea slowly forms in my mind. Something to celebrate all our firsts. When I finish my coffee, her response is in my inbox.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 5th, 2011, 9:33. My life's mission is to let you, because I love you too. Now stop being so sappy, you are making me cry. Anastasia Gray, equally smitten editor.
I grin. We're both smitten. Tuesday, September 6th, 2011. A story of fine jewelry has outdone itself. My lunchtime quest was a success, and I'm delighted with the gift I've bought for Anna. I hope she likes it too. Glancing at her beautiful face on my office wall, I admire her secret smile as she peers down at me. But as ever, she gives nothing away. Lord, she is lovely. I find myself grinning at her portrait like the lovesick fool I am, a man in love with his wife. Get a grip, Gray. My plans for Anna's birthday are falling into place. Mrs. Jones has volunteered to cook a surprise dinner party for Anna, and I'm waiting to hear if all our guests can make it. I've offered to send the jet to collect Carla and Bob. Ray is on, and my siblings have both said yes, but I've yet to hear from my folks. Anna knows nothing of this, and the event will be the first surprise party I've ever organized. I remember when I bought my apartment pre-construction, how the real estate agent had waxed lyrical about the expansive entertainment space within. I never thought I'd actually get to use it. That wasn't my life. And now, 2 years later, I'm hosting a party. For my wife. Who knew? It should be fun. Perhaps we could take everyone to see the new house on Sunday after lunch and check out how Elliot and his team are doing. Or perhaps we could go before, just Anna and me. Maybe on Friday. I check my schedule, but I'm interrupted by a text from Taylor, and a nanosecond later, an email from Anna. I open the email first.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 6th, 2011, 1527. Visitors. Christian, Leela is here to see me. I will see her with Prescott. I'll use my newly acquired slapping skills with my now-healed hand should I need to. Try, and I mean try, not to worry. I'm a big girl. We'll call once we've spoken. A. Kiss. Anastasia Gray, editor.
What? Leela? Fuck! I dial Anna's number immediately. No fucking way is she meeting with Leela. The phone rings and rings, ignored by Anna, and my blood pressure climbs with each unanswered chime until it reaches a dizzying height. Eventually, her voicemail kicks in, asking me to leave a message. I hang up, not trusting myself to speak. Hell. I check Taylor's text.
Mrs. Gray is meeting with Leela Williams. Prescott is attending the meeting. I'm heading to the car.
Prescott must have told him.
Andrea!
My bellow practically shakes the window behind me. I text Taylor back. You going to SIP? Andrea doesn't bother to knock and comes barreling into my office.
Mr. Gray?
Get me Anna's assistant on the line now.
Yes, sir.
What the hell is Leela playing at? She knows this is forbidden. And as for Prescott, Leela is on the watch list. She knows this is prohibited. My office phone buzzes and Andrea puts Hannah through.
Mr. Gray, good afternoon.
Hannah sounds irritatingly cheery. I need to speak to my wife now. I am not in the mood for pleasantries.
I'm afraid she's in a meeting.
I'm going to have a coronary.
I'm fully aware of that. Get her out of the meeting.
I'm not...
Do it now or you're fired.
I seethe through gritted teeth.
Yes, sir.
She squeaks, and the phone clatters to her desk, the noise an assault on my eardrum. Shit. I'm left hanging, waiting once more for Anastasia's Gray. My fingers drum a frantic tattoo on my desk. Perhaps I should just get up and go. That's absurd. Did John speak to Leela? My BlackBerry buzzes with another text from Taylor.
I'm in the car, outside.
Wait for me.
Copy.
I don't understand what Prescott is playing at. How did she let this happen? The phone scrapes along the desk and is dropped back onto the hard surface, the noise deafening again. Fucking hell, Hannah is clumsy.
Mr. Gray?
Yes. The word hisses out at her in frustration. Get on with it.
Anna says she's sorry, but she's busy and she'll call you back shortly.
Jesus Christ, she's a tongue-tied mess. Fine, I snap and hang up. Shit, what to do? Prescott, of course. Anna said Prescott would be in the meeting with her. She has a phone, though I don't think I have her number.
Andrea!
I shout once more, and a moment later she's in the doorway, her demeanor tentative. Get me Prescott on her mobile. Andrea looks momentarily baffled, and I think I'm going to explode.
Belinda Prescott, Anna's security,
I snap. Now!
Ah, yes.
Andrea disappears. Don't be an asshole, Gray. Taking a deep breath in an effort to calm myself, I get up and pace behind my desk, knowing it will be a moment before Andrea has Prescott's number. I'm suffocated by my anxiety. Loosening my tie, I undo my top button to ameliorate the situation, but an image of Leela, bedraggled and destitute, holding a gun at Anna, remains at the forefront of my mind. It's torture. My anger and apprehension rise several notches on the Richter scale. When my phone rings, I grab it.
Mrs. Gray's security for you,
Andrea says.
Mr. Gray,
Prescott says. Prescott, I cannot begin to articulate how disappointed I am in you right now. Let me talk to my wife.
Yes, sir,
she answers. There's a beat of muffled chatter.
Christian?
Anna snaps, and from her tone I know she's on her high fucking horse, condescending to talk to me.
What the fuck are you playing at?
I bark down the phone.
Don't shout at me.
Her retort only fuels my temper.
What do you mean, don't shout at you?
My voice bellows around the room and into the phone.
I gave specific instructions, which you have completely disregarded, again. Hell, Anna, I am fucking furious.
When you are calmer, we will talk about this.
Oh, no.
Don't you hang up on me.
Goodbye, Christian.
Anna? Anna!
The line is dead, and I think I'm going to erupt like Mount St. Helens. Incandescent with fury, I grab my jacket and my phone and storm out of my office.
Cancel the rest of my meetings today,
I growl at Andrea, and let Taylor know I'm on my way down.
Yes, sir.
The elevator takes an eternal 16 seconds to arrive. I know because I count each and every one in an effort to rein in my temper. After I step in and jab the button for the lobby, I clench my fists so tightly that my fingernails dig into my palms, and I know I have lost the fight. Andrea glances up, consternation writ large on her face, but I remain impassive, ignoring her as the doors close. I am ready to do battle with my wife again. And with Leela. What the fuck is she thinking? Taylor is standing by the car, holding the door open. I'm grateful that at least he's on the case. We drive in silence to SIP as my anger simmers, ready to boil over at the slightest provocation. From the back of the car, I call Flynn's office, but I get his secretary Janet's voicemail. I hang up, frustrated that I can't even vent my anger on Flynn. Was this Leela's plan all along? She knew that if she accosted my wife, then I would come running. I'm playing into her hands, but I don't give a fuck. After an agonizing journey, Taylor pulls up outside SIP, and I'm out of the car as soon as he stops at the curb. I don't bother with reception, but head straight through the double doors toward Anna's office. At her desk, Hannah looks up. I ignore her, too.
Mr. Gray!
I burst into Anna's office, so forcefully that a few papers fall to the floor, amplifying the room's emptiness. Shit. Feeling like a complete idiot, I turn around and glare at Hannah. Where is she? I snap, trying not to lose it. She pales and points toward the opposite end of the open plan floor.
In the meeting room, I'll take you.
I'll manage, thank you. Scowling at her, my tone glacial and clipped, I blaze back in the direction I've come from, a storm cloud about to burst. I have to remind myself that it's not her fault. Ignoring the curious glances from the staff at their desks, I pass by the double doors to reception. They open, and Taylor stalks through to join me. But beyond him, I catch a glimpse of Susanna Shaw sitting on one of the Chesterfields in the waiting area. What the hell? Are all my ex-submissives here? She's reading a magazine, so she doesn't see me. I haven't got time for this. I spot Leela through the glass wall of the conference room. Without knocking, I barge in and am met by three surprised pairs of eyes. Anna stares at me in shock, then fury. Leela's eyes widen, but she drops her gaze to the table as she should. Prescott stares ahead. My first response is relief that Anna is unharmed, but it's swiftly swept aside by my anger. You, I address Prescott. You're fired. Get out now. Prescott nods, resigned, I think, and makes her way around the table to leave. Anna gapes at me.
Christian!
She pushes her chair back, and I know she's going to stand up and berate me. I hold a finger up in warning. Don't. I keep my voice low while I struggle to contain my fury. Prescott, her face expressionless, walks past me out of the room. Shutting the door behind her, I turn to confront Leela. She looks as I remember when she was with me, healthy and well-adjusted. It's a relief to see her looking like her old self, and I'd tell her that if I wasn't so fucking angry with her right now. Splaying my fingers onto the cool surface of the polished wood, I lean forward, tension tightening every muscle in my body, and snarl. What the fuck are you doing here?
Christian!
Anna exclaims, shocked, I think. But I ignore her and concentrate my attention on Miss Leela Williams.
Well?
I demand. Leela's eyes dart to mine, her face slowly draining of color.
I wanted to see you and you wouldn't let me,
she whispers. So you came here to harass my wife? Leela examines the tabletop again. Well, I'm here now. You got what you wanted. I'm mad that I've been played, but more livid that she's here with Anna. Leela, if you come anywhere near my wife again, I will cut off all support. Doctors, art school, medical insurance, all of it gone. Do you understand?
Christian!
Anna tries to interject. She looks distraught, but right now I don't give a shit, and I silence her with a look.
Yes.
Leela says, her voice almost inaudible. What's Susanna doing in reception?
She came with me.
I stand upright and run a hand through my hair. What am I going to do with her?
Christian, please,
Anna interjects again.
Leela just wants to say thank you, that's all.
Ignoring Anna, I direct a question at Leela. Did you stay with Susanna while you were sick?
Yes.
Did she know what you were doing while you were staying with her?
No, she was away on vacation.
I can't imagine that Susanna would have stood by and let Leela lose her mind. She always struck me as a caring and considerate person. I sigh. Why do you need to see me? You know you should send any request through Flynn. Do you need something? Leela traces her finger along the edge of the table and the silence fills the room. Abruptly, she looks up.
I had to know,
she declares, looking directly at me. Had to know what?
That you're okay.
What the fuck? That I'm okay? I don't believe her.
Yes.
She's not backing down. I'm fine. There, question answered. Now Taylor will run you to SeaTac so you can go back to the East Coast, and if you take one step west of the Mississippi, it's all gone. Understand?
Yes, I understand.
Leela says quietly, her expression finally contrite. It goes a long way to calming me. Good, I mutter.
It might not be convenient for Leela to go back now. She has plans.
Anna intervenes again. Anastasia? My tone is arctic. This does not concern you. The stubborn scowl that I know so well forms on her face.
Leela came to see me, not you.
She snaps. Leela turns to look at Anna.
I had my instructions, Mrs. Gray. I disobeyed them.
She glances at me, then back to my wife.
This is the Christian Gray I know,
she says, and her tone is almost wistful. What? That's not fair. We role-played a relationship, for fuck's sake, and the last time she was in a room with my wife, she had her at gunpoint. I will go to the ends of the earth to keep Anastasia safe. Leela rises, and I want to leap to my own defense. But if that's how she'd like to rewrite history, then so be it. I don't give a flying fuck.
I'd like to stay until tomorrow. My flight is at noon,
she states. I'll have someone collect you at 10 to take you to the airport.
Thank you.
You're at Susanna's?
Yes.
Okay. Leela turns to Anna.
Goodbye, Mrs. Gray. Thank you for seeing me.
Anna rises and holds out her hand, and they shake.
Goodbye. Good luck,
she says. Leela nods with a faint, sincere smile and turns to me.
Goodbye, Christian.
Goodbye, Leela. Dr. Flynn, remember.
Yes, sir.
I open the door for her to leave, but she pauses in front of me.
I'm glad you're happy. You deserve to be,
she says, and then she's out the door. I watch her leave, baffled by our exchange. What the hell was that all about? I close the door and, taking a deep breath, turn to face my wife. Don't even think about being angry with me, she snarls. Call Claude Bastille and kick the shit out of him, or go see Flynn. Her cheeks pink with her rising anger. Wow, attack as the first form of defense. But that's not what this is about. You promised you wouldn't do this.
Do what?
She spits at me.
Defy me.
No, I didn't. I said I'd be more considerate. I told you she was here. I had Prescott search her and your other little friend, too. Prescott was with me the entire time. Now you've fired the poor woman when she was only doing what I asked.
Anna is on a roll.
I told you not to worry, yet here you are. I don't remember receiving your papal bull decreeing that I couldn't see Leela. I didn't know that my visitors were subject to a prescribed list.
She's mad. Really mad. Her voice rising and her eyes flashing with righteous indignation. Impressive, Mrs. Gray. I marvel at how she always stands up to me and remains as disarming as ever. And she's funny, sucking the venom out of the room with her choice of words. Papal bull, I ask, because it's the most amusing and disrespectful thing I've heard in a while, and I hope to raise a smile. Anna remains stony-faced. Shit. What? I ask, exasperated. I had hoped that we could move on now that she's got everything off her chest.
You! Why were you so callous toward her?
What? I wasn't callous, I was mad. She shouldn't be here. Hell. Sighing, I lean against the table. Anastasia, you don't understand. Leela, Susanna, all of them. They were a pleasant, diverting pastime, but that's all. You are the center of my universe, and the last time you two were in a room together, she had you at gunpoint. I don't want her anywhere near you.
But Christian, she was ill. I know that, and I know she's better now, but I'm not giving her the benefit of the doubt anymore. What she did was unforgivable. But you've just played right into her hands. She wanted to see you again, and she knew you'd come running if she came to see me.
I shrug. I don't want you tainted with my old life. Anna frowns.
Christian, you are who you are because of your old life, your new life, whatever. What touches you touches me. I accepted that when I agreed to marry you, because I love you.
Where is she going with this? Her expression is raw, full of compassion. But this time it's not for me, but for Leela. Who knew Leela would find an advocate in my wife?
She didn't hurt me. She loves you too.
I don't give a fuck. And no, she doesn't love me. How could she? Leela knows only too well what I'm capable of. Anna stares at me as if she's seeing me for the first time. Oh, baby, I told you a long time ago. 50 Shades.
Why are you championing her cause all of a sudden?
I ask, baffled.
Look, Christian, I don't think Leela and I will be swapping recipes and knitting patterns anytime soon, but I didn't think you'd be so heartless to her.
I told you once, I don't have a heart. I mutter, and even to my own ears I sound petulant. She rolls her eyes.
That's just not true, Christian. You're being ridiculous. You do care about her. You wouldn't be paying for art classes and the rest of that stuff if you didn't.
I remember Leela, broken and filthy as I bathed her in Anna's old apartment, and how I felt seeing her like that. Hell, I've had enough of this shit. This discussion is over. Let's go home. Anna glances at her watch.
It's too early.
Home, I insist. Please, Anna.
Christian, I'm tired of having the same argument with you.
She sounds weary. What argument?
You know,
she continues, correctly interpreting my frown.
I do something you don't like, and you think of some way to get back at me, usually involving some of your kinky fuckery, which is either mind-blowing or cruel.
She shrugs. Cruel? Shit. Yeah, she safe-worded on you, Gray. Fuck. Mind-blowing? I ask, because I don't want to dwell on cruel.
Usually, yes.
What was mind-blowing? Anna looks exasperated.
You know.
I can guess. Various erotic memories cloud my imagination. Anna in a spreader bar, shackled to the bed, the cross, in my childhood bedroom.
Christian, I...
She sounds breathless. Distracting her has worked.
I like to please you.
I brush my thumb over her bottom lip.
You do.
Her voice is petal soft, caressing me, everywhere. I know. I whisper in her ear. It's the one thing I do know. When I stand, Anna's eyes are closed. She opens them abruptly and purses her lips, probably in response to my wicked smile. I want her. I don't want to argue.
What was mind-blowing, Anastasia?
I coax her.
You want the list?
There's a list?
Well, the handcuffs.
She mumbles, and for a moment she looks lost in the memory of our honeymoon tryst.
No.
I grab her hand and skim my thumb around her wrist. I don't want to mark you. My eyes meet hers, imploring her.
Come home. I have work to do.
Home. Please, Anna, I don't want to fight. We gaze at each other, our battlefield, the space between us, as I try desperately to understand what she might be thinking. I know I've angered her, and at the back of my mind I'm concerned that I might be doing exactly what Flynn has warned me against, sabotaging our relationship and killing my own happiness. I need to know we're okay. Her pupils widen, growing larger and darkening her eyes. I can't resist her. Raising my hand, I caress her cheek with the back of my fingers.
We could stay here.
My voice is hoarse, betraying my desire and my need to reconnect with my wife. Anna blinks and shakes her head, stepping back.
Christian, I don't want to have sex here. Your mistress has just been in this room.
She was never my mistress. Only Elena fits that title.
Don't go there, Gray. That's just semantics, Christian.
She sounds weary once more. Don't overthink this, Anna. She's history. And I don't know if I'm referring to Leela or Elena, but the same applies to both of them. They're history. Anna sighs, and she regards me as if I'm a complex riddle to solve, her eyes beseeching me, but for what I don't know. Suddenly, her expression changes to one of alarm, and she gasps, and I think she says no. But she is history. Yes. I implore her, and press my lips to hers to drive away her doubt.
Oh, Christian, she whispers. You scare me sometimes.
She grasps my head in her hands and pulls my lips to hers, kissing me. I'm lost.
Scare her?
I fold her in my arms and whisper against her lips.
Why? You could turn away from her so easily.
This time I know she's referring to my attitude to Leela.
And you think I might turn away from you, Anna? Why the hell would you think that? What's brought this on? Nothing. Kiss me. Take me home.
Her lips find mine once more, but this time there's a desperate edge to her kiss.
What's wrong, Anna?
The thought is fleeting as I surrender to her tongue. Anna writhes beneath me.
Oh, please.
She begs. All in good time. I have her exactly where I want her. On our bed in Escala, trussed up and available. She groans and pulls on the leather restraints that bind each elbow to each knee. She's completely open to me, and helpless, as I focus my attention and the tip of my tongue on her clitoris. She groans as I tease the potent powerhouse buried in her flesh, feeling it harden under my relentless ministration.
God, I love this.
Her fingers find my hair, tugging it hard. But I don't stop. She's trying to straighten her legs. She's close.
Don't come.
My words float over her wet flesh. I will spank you if you come. She groans and tugs harder. Control, Anna. It's all about control. And I double down on my efforts, my tongue continuing to provoke her, bringing her closer and closer. I know this is a losing battle for her. She's so near.
Ah!
She cries, and her climax spirals through her body. She raises her face to the ceiling and arches her back as she comes.
Yes.
I don't stop until she screams.
Oh, Anna.
I chide her, nipping her thigh.
You came.
Flipping her onto her front, I smack her hard on her behind, so she cries out.
Control.
I repeat, and grabbing her hips, I drive into her. She cries out again, and I still, reveling in her. This is where I want to be, my happy place. Leaning forward, I unclip each cuff in turn so she's free, and pull her fully onto my lap, driving deeper inside her.
Anna.
I wrap my arm around her and caress her jaw, enjoying the feel of her back against my front.
Move.
I whisper my demand in her ear. She moans and rises on my lap, then back down.
Too slow.
Faster, I order. And she moves, fast, faster, faster still, taking me with her.
Oh, baby, this is heaven. The feel of her.
I ease her head back, kissing her throat as my other hand skims down her body, caressing her skin. From her hip, I trail my fingers down to cup her vulva. She whimpers as I brush my fingers against her already sensitized clitoris.
Yes, Anna, you are mine, only you. Yes,
she cries out,
and I can't believe she's so close. Her readiness fuels my desire. She tips her head back, and the first shocks are there. Come for me, I whisper. She lets go, and I hold her still while I ride out her orgasm.
Christian!
She calls, my name tipping me over the edge.
Oh, Anna, I love you.
I groan, and I come, all the tension from earlier spiraling out of my body as I find my release. We lie sprawled together, and we're a tangle of limbs and cuffs. I kiss her shoulder and stroke her hair from her face before propping myself up on my elbow. While I knead her backside where I smacked her, I ask, Does that make the list, Mrs. Gray? Is that a yes? Her lips lift in a glorious smile. I grin. She's incoherent. Job done, Gray. I kiss her shoulder again and she rolls over to face me. Well? I ask.
Yes, it makes the list.
Her eyes sparkle with mischief.
But it's a long list.
She makes me feel 10 feet tall. My earlier anger is forgotten. Thank you, Anna. I kiss her. Good. Shall we have dinner? She nods and her fingers dance over my chest.
I want you to tell me something.
Sincere, curious blue eyes meet mine. What?
Don't get mad.
What is it, Anna?
You do care.
She says the words with such compassionate sincerity that all the air is sucked from my lungs.
I want you to admit that you care, because the Christian I know and love would care.
Why does she do this? From nowhere, images of Leela and Susanna and the rest of my subs cloud my brain. All that we did, all that they did, for me. All that I did and do for them. Leela broken and filthy. Hell. That was torture. I wouldn't want her or any of them to experience that. Ever. Yes, yes, I care. Happy? Anna's eyes soften.
Yes, very.
I frown. I can't believe I'm talking to you now, here in our bed, about... She places a finger on my lips.
We're not. Let's eat. I'm hungry.
I sigh and shake my head. This woman confounds me in every way. Why is this so important to her? My sweet, compassionate wife. You beguile and bewilder me, Mrs. Gray.
Good.
She kisses me, her tongue finding mine, and soon we're lost in each other again. Friday, September 9th, 2011.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Andrea is bright and chirpy, a little like me. Married life agrees with her, too, it would seem. Good morning, Andrea. I give her a quick, sincere smile.
Coffee?
Please. Where's Sarah?
On an errand for the meeting this morning. Black?
Yes, and let's go through the preparations for today and the weekend. Sitting down at my desk, I review the documents laid out in front of me. Today we meet the Huangs from Taiwan to discuss our joint venture with their shipyard. I have their stats, their management structure, details of their suppliers and subcontractors, and a list of their clients. It's impressive, but part of me is still wondering why they would want to partner with a company in the U.S. In fact, this is what has been nagging me throughout our discussions with them. They told us during our recent call that they want to expand throughout the Pacific Rim to be less reliant on the domestic and East Asian market, but GEH could be entering a political minefield. Well, today we get to ask all the difficult questions. Andrea joins me. She makes a mighty fine cup of coffee. This is great. I raise my cup to her and am rewarded with a smile. Where are you with the travel arrangements for Anna's surprise party?
Your family arrives tomorrow. Raymond Steele will be driving in from his fishing trip in Oregon tomorrow. The Gulfstream is due to take off this afternoon for Savannah to collect Mr. and Mrs. Adams. They'll fly into Seattle tomorrow afternoon. I wanted to check that you didn't need hotel reservations for them.
No, thanks. They'll be staying with us.
I think that's all with regard to the weekend. I've been liaising with Mrs. Jones.
Great. Now the Taiwanese delegation. I check my watch. They should be here by 11.
Everything's in place.
Andrea is exuding her usual efficiency.
They're coming from the Fairmont Olympic. In addition to the owners, Mr. and Miss Huang, and their chief operating officer, Mr. Chen, they're bringing their interpreter. I'm sorry that I don't have his or her name yet. Marco will meet them in reception and escort them to the conference room.
Odd that they are bringing an interpreter. They all speak fluent English. Andrea shrugs.
Lunch is booked in your name at the Four Seasons at 1:30 p.m.
Thanks, Andrea. Sounds like everything is in hand.
Will that be all?
For now. Once she's gone, I turn to my iMac and check my email. The title of Anna's jumps out at me.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 9th, 2011, 9:33. The list. That's definitely at the top. Big grin. A. Kiss. Anastasia Gray, editor.
I laugh out loud and shift in my seat as I remember the spreader bar and how exceptionally accommodating my wife was last night. Then again, she has been every night since Leela intruded on our lives. Thankfully, that drama is over. Leela is home, and Flynn has reassured me that she's happily settled back into her life in Connecticut. Anna is as insatiable as ever. I am a lucky, lucky man. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 9th, 2011, 9:42. Tell me something new. You've said that for the last 3 days. Make your mind up. Or we could try something else. Wink. Christian Gray, CEO, enjoying this game. Our only source of conflict has been Anna's campaign to rehire Prescott, in spite of the fact that Anna herself said she wasn't certain about her. I've reassured Anna that I'll give Prescott a good reference, but that's it, and for me the matter is closed. I return to the documents in front of me for a reread. I need to be on my game. That done, I check for any further emails from Anna, but there are none. I'm restless for the meeting to start, but with 45 minutes to go, I need to stretch my legs. Leaping up, I grab my phone and head out of my office. Andrea, I'm just going to see Roz. I've got my phone. I wave it in front of her and notice it needs charging. Damn. Can you charge this for me?
Yes, Mr. Gray.
With a need to burn off some of my excess energy prior to the meeting, I vault down the stairs to Roz's office. Roz has a ream of final questions for the Huangs, and we're discussing tactics when there's a knock on the door. It's Andrea.
Mrs. Gray called you. She wanted to talk to you urgently. I thought you would want to know.
She hands me my phone. Thank you. Frowning, I step out of Roz's office and dial Anna's number.
Christian!
Anna gasps, breathless and choked. A frisson runs up my spine. Christ, Anna, what's wrong?
It's Ray. He's been in an accident.
Shit.
I'm on my way to Portland.
Portland, please tell me Sawyer is with you.
Yes, he's driving.
Where's Ray?
At OHSU.
Roz steps out of her office, distracting me.
Christian, they'll be here shortly.
My eyes dart to the clock on the wall. It's 10:48. Yes, Roz, I know. The meeting will take at least 2 hours. Hell, I was going to take them to lunch. Roz and Marco can do it. Sorry, baby, I can be there in about 3 hours. I have business I need to finish here. I'll fly down. Thank God Charlie Tango is back in operation. I have a meeting with some guys over from Taiwan. I can't blow them off. It's a deal we've been hammering out for months. I'll leave as soon as I can.
Okay.
She whispers, her voice small and scared. A fist tightens around my heart. This is not Anna's usual demeanor. Oh, baby. I murmur, overwhelmed with the need to drop everything and join her. She needs me. But I can't. I have responsibilities here. Sawyer is with her.
I'll be okay, Christian. Take your time. Don't rush. I don't want to worry about you too. Fly safely.
I will.
Love you.
I love you too, baby. I'll be with you as soon as I can. Keep Luke close.
Yes, I will.
I'll see you later.
Bye.
She hangs up.
Everything okay?
Roz asks. I shake my head. No, Anna's dad has had an accident.
Oh, no.
He's in OHSU Hospital in Portland. She's heading there now. I have to make a quick call. I speed dial my mother, and by some miracle, Grace answers her cell.
Christian, darling, how lovely to hear from you.
Mom, Anna's dad has been in an accident.
Oh, no. Poor Ray. Is he okay? Where is he?
OHSU.
Is it serious?
I don't know. Anna's on her way down there. Unfortunately, I have a meeting here that I need to take before I can join her.
I see. A friend from Yale works there. I'll make some calls.
Thanks, Mom. I've got to go. I call Andrea, hoping that she's back at her desk.
Mr. Gray?
Anna's dad has been in an accident. I'll need Stefan to fly with me to Portland and Charlie Tango after my meeting. Can you ask Bailey to fly the Gulfstream to Savannah? We'll need to find a second pilot to go with her. And liaise with Taylor. I need him to come with me.
Yes, sir, I'll get right on it.
I hang up. Roz is gathering her papers from her desk. You'll have to entertain the Huangs after this meeting. Take them to lunch. I have a table booked at the Four Seasons. I'll have to join Anna.
Of course. I'll ask Marco to join me.
We'd better head up. Ryan drives Taylor and me to the helipad in downtown Seattle. It was Andrea's idea that we leave from here, rather than Boeing Field, to save time. The meeting with the Huangs has been a huge success. I've acquired a shipyard, and the settlement we've reached appears to be satisfactory to all parties, but I've left Roz and Marco to iron out the details. Roz and I have an invitation to visit the shipyard next week, but right now I need to support my wife and find out about my father-in-law's condition. As Ryan parks the Audi outside the building, I'm reminded of the last time I used this helipad to take Anna to Jose's exhibition in Portland, all part of my campaign to win her back. I allow myself a brief moment of triumph. I succeeded. She's now my wife. Who would have thought, Gray? Taylor and I make our way to the elevator, which whisks us up to the rooftop helipad. The doors slide open, and there she is, Charlie Tango. My pride and joy restored to her former glory. I left her burnt out and abandoned in a clearing in a wild and desolate corner of Gifford National Forest. Now she has two new engines, and after a thorough cleanup at Eurocopter, she stands tall and proud, gleaming like new in the early afternoon sun. It's a joy to see her. Stefan climbs out of the cockpit, beaming as we walk toward him.
She's handling just like she used to, and she's looking good, too,
he says by way of a greeting. I can't wait to take her up. In spite of my anxiety about Anna, I can barely contain my excitement to be at Charlie Tango's controls again.
Thought you'd say that?
With a grin, he holds the pilot's door open, then takes the seat beside me while Taylor hops into the back. Once I've buckled up, I don my headphones and run through my pre-flight checks.
Have I forgotten anything? I ask Stefan.
No, sir. Well remembered.
I check the rotor RPM, then radio the tower.
Okay, guys, you ready?
Copy,
Taylor says over his headset, and Stefan gives me a thumbs up. Gently, I ease back the collective, and Charlie Tango rises like a phoenix into the Seattle sunshine. It's a rush and a relief, knowing I'll be with my wife in just over an hour. The flight to Oregon is a welcome diversion from my worries about Anna and her dad. Charlie Tango is as responsive, smooth, and elegant as she's always been. She lands with her usual grace on the Portland helipad.
You'll keep her warm?
I ask Stefan.
With pleasure, sir.
He's agreed to stand by for further instructions, as I don't know when or if we'll be heading home today.
Outside the building, there's a Suburban waiting for us. The rental agent hands the keys to Taylor, and we set off for the hospital. While he drives, I fish out my phone to contact Anna, but there's a missed call and voicemail from my mother. I call Grace rather than listen to her message, but she doesn't pick up. Hell. I hang up and listen to her voicemail. Her tone is crisp and concise, her doctor's voice.
Christian, I don't have much information on your father-in-law. I know he's in the OR and has been there for some time. He's in serious condition. We'll find out more when they're finished with him. I don't have a time yet. If you're at the hospital, call me.
I scowl at my phone. My mother's message is disturbing. Serious does not sound good. Taylor, we may have to stay overnight. Can you pick up some essentials for Anna and me?
Toiletries?
Yes, and a change of clothes or two. For both of us. Casual attire, please.
Yes, sir.
I call Andrea, and she picks up on the first ring.
Mr. Gray?
Andrea, we may need to stay in Portland tonight. Check that the Heathman has a suite.
Will do. Shall I courier your laptop to you?
I have it. Taylor picked it up.
Shit. It's Anna's birthday tomorrow.